time to feel the rush of the Round Table, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Roundtable for Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions for approvals in as little as an hour. And fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca, brokerage license number 13111. Here we go. Host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, Bill Carroll joins us. Hello, Bill.
Good to be here.
And diversity and inclusion consultant with the Diversity Agency, Andrea Barrett. Hello, Andrea.
Well, hello there.
Welcome.
Now, I know you both don't, you know me, I don't like to steer a conversation one way or the other, but we had the Prime Minister today out there making the big announcement about vaccine passports, and all the media was there with their cameras and their notepads, and oh, what could it be? How is this going to look? This is going to be a vaccine passport we can use for international travel.
All provinces and territories have confirmed that they will be moving forward with a standardized national proof of vaccination. As of today, so far, we have Saskatchewan, Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, and all three provinces, all three territories, Nunavut, Northwest Territories, and Yukon, who already have put into use the national standard for proof of vaccination.
Yep, Bill, that's it. That's the, just use your provincial one to travel abroad. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
So I'm confused. Do I need a federal one or not? I have an Ontario one. I don't.
No, you can just use that one. Just that's it. There is no federal passport.
What the hell is he going on about?
I don't
First
know.
First of all, like, why are you having a meeting? And it's nice you got your little friend there to take care of you and add some credibility to anything you have to say. But what are you really saying? Because all morning I spent talking about this. Hey, we're going to have a new federal passport, which I already thought was interesting timing, right? You don't mention this during an election campaign because you want the provincial premiers to take the heat. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to step in with a passport. And now we're not even sure if you really even need that because the province already has one. Wow. It's crazy making.
Yeah, Andrea, listen, you know, I was saying this back in May, June. I said, you know, it shouldn't be up to the provinces. Certainly they're going to play a part because healthcare is obviously a provincial jurisdiction. But let's show some leadership here. Let's put together a federal program so everybody across the country has one unified thing on their phone that they can show border agents around the world.
Agreed, Ryan. I agree with you. I think this should have been a federal response. However, now that every province will be doing this on their own with the Canadian logo and the seal, we are going to save money because, as you know, we are behind about $600 million. We don't have any more money, so we don't have to build a new system. The U.S. borders are opening up on November 8th. So this pan-Canadian approach, this will work. Not what we expected, but this will work. But you know what's important? People need to make sure the Canadian website still says we need to avoid non-essential travel. So everyone just, you know, take this and pace yourself and don't get all crazy booking travel all over the place.
I wish I could bottle your confidence because I'd drink it with dinner tonight.
As you heard moments ago, the Ontario government looking to ease our labor shortage in the province by bringing in a bill that would make it easier for those foreign trained professionals and tradespeople to find work in their chosen fields. The Labor Minister, Monty McNaughton, our guest earlier this afternoon on the Rush Bill, and he did say inside of that interview that it will probably take a couple of years for this to still go from A to Z before you can actually start practicing. And we're wondering, does that not seem a bit long?
Yeah, I mean, I only got to hear the tail end of you guys with Minty. And I thought his name was Monty, but that's okay. I stand corrected. Look, we've all been in that cab or Uber, right, with the doctor who's driving a cab. And so we want to change that. I mean, I don't think we want to give up the idea of testing. I think in certain fields, you have to have a basic competency test. But, you know, the barriers go way beyond that. Everything takes way too long to do. And you have to have Canadian experience, which you can't get without Canadian experience. I never understood that. My poor dad used to run into this when we first came to Canada as well. You know, he was brought here because of a specific job when he got laid off there. Well, you only had 6 months there. You don't have enough Canadian experience. Well, here I am with my whole family in Canada. What the hell are you talking about? So we've lived it, and I know what it's like to be in a family where you're having trouble making ends meet because you don't have a job and you're frustrated. So, of course, we need to fix all of that. But to your original question, it takes too long to get this done, and now it's going to take a while to change that. Isn't really good enough.
Yeah, and that's sort of one of the things that we're facing, Andrea, and we also asked the minister about that today. You know, despite the fact that it's your government that's happy to announce it, this was far too long in the making, and I wonder what the hurdle has always been, because clearly there's been a need for people to work, and now obviously we're at an all-time high of jobs that we need to fill.
I know, this should have been done years ago. What most people don't know, my father, it was a foreign-trained worker. So born and raised and trained as a carpenter and cabinet maker in Jamaica. What we need right now, clearly there's a labor shortage. What we need, as one of the earlier callers mentioned, is more apprenticeship training, more apprentice training. Clearly, we know that there are almost 300,000 jobs that are going unfulfilled, and this is not acceptable. There's going to be a huge problem. There's a huge problem now, and it's only going to get worse in the future. This should have been taken care of years ago by previous governments, but I do think this is a step in the right direction. But we need to see the details. It's a great press conference, great idea. Let's hear the details, and let's get people to work.
Bill, I'm going to go in the Wayback Machine and produce a segment for your show tomorrow morning if you haven't done this already, because this was off the charts when it comes to the phone calls and text messages we were getting. South Korea's mega hit Squid Game, of course, the most watched show over the last month on Netflix, has a lot of school boards saying, hey, wait a minute, parents are letting their kids watch this, and it's coming with people acting all of this stuff out and mimicking it on the playgrounds. We heard from teachers and parents, you know, couples were calling in saying, we're just going to pick up our 11-year-old right now. He's the only one in the class that's not allowed to watch this show. We can't believe parents are letting their kids watch this type of thing.
Yeah, I appreciate your production. Will we have a guest, or am I just going to rant? How are we going to do
you
that?
You can just do a rant. Open the phones. Okay. You'll be great. You'll be great.
Well, why don't I try it out right now? I have to tell you, when you sent over the article as my producer today, Ryan, I looked at it and thought, wow, this is bad, because I'd read earlier in the week that in some schoolyards, kids are being punched, which, of course, we definitely don't want. But the example in here is that one girl lay down on the playground playing dead. And I thought, and did we not all do this when we were kids? Didn't we not play shoot-up games in the play yard and fall down dead in the schoolyard? Was it the end of the world? I don't know. I think there's a bit of an overreaction here. And I think a lot of these kids may not even have seen the show. They've just heard about it. And my understanding is the games that they play in the show mimic South Korean playground games in the first place. That's where they come from. So there's probably a harmless way to play those games. As long as no one's getting punched, I'm not overly exercised about it. If I found out my kids were doing this, I don't think I'd care all that much.
You see, that's what I miss about the old days. I zig, you zag. It goes a completely different way than I expected it to. Andrea, your thoughts?
So this was a head scratcher. So Squid Game play at recess. So there are parents out there that think it's okay for their children to watch this wildly violent game for fun. You know, it's funny for half a second, but what's wrong with the parents? What parent in their right mind would think that this is okay? This will only cause problems in their home and at school. What if something gets out of hand? What if somebody gets hurt? Very bad idea. Very, very bad idea. No play groups with those parents.
Good idea or bad idea, you can be the judge on this one. Newfoundland and Labrador, an effort to boost health outcomes in their province, unveiled this week what will be taxes on sugary drinks. The tax hike specifically with drinks added sugars by 20% beginning in September of 2022. They're hoping for about $9 million a year to be collected through this tax bill. And, you know, not tax bill, but tax Bill, I'm talking to you, Bill. I'm curious if you think this would be a deterrent at all in any way, shape, or form to someone that likes to drink pop. 20 cents on a liter.
Yeah, I mean, my kids have never tasted, to my knowledge, because they're teenagers, so I won't swear to it, but they've never tasted any kind of soft drink. They just, they never had it in the house. You know me, Ryan, and my Diet Cokes, still drink some of those, not as much as I used to. But my wife wouldn't let me when she heard me burping on the air a couple of times. That was it. It was banned. So they just don't really drink it. So it's hard for me to say whether it would change people's behavior. I mean, remember when we started to put the caloric count in restaurants? It definitely, I would think, so the milkshake's 1,000 calories? Okay, maybe I'll pass on that. But then after a while, you don't even see it anymore. You just ignore it. So in the end, it strikes me it's probably more of a tax grab than anything else. I don't think it's a game changer. You either let your kids drink this stuff or you don't.
One of the things we do know, Andrea, is that it at least can spark a conversation, right? So we're talking about it. I'm sure that families in Newfoundland and Labrador will be talking about it as well. So maybe it's an opportunity to just sort of do a bit of a reset on how much pop is actually coming into someone else's house.
Absolutely. And it's not just pop, it's sugar too. I'm all for this. And I know a lot of people won't be, but I'm absolutely 100% in support of this. So I'm also a nutritionist. And what a lot of people don't know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. There was a study they talked about that tied sugary drinks to increased rates of cancer. 20 cents a liter is nothing. $9 million a year the province of Newfoundland needs for healthcare and anything else they need. I think this is important. We're not aware of what we're consuming. Way too much sugar in soda. No one should drink it. Way too much sugar in juice and all of those fancy schmancy beverages. Water is the best thing for you.
We've only got about a minute and a half here, but we talked about this earlier and got a lot of reaction to this as well. The Toronto District School Board is going to change basically the role of an elementary school guidance counselor. And we kind of asked the question earlier, Bill, you know, was a guidance counselor your true guide into your career path? And, you know, did they really have the impact that they were supposed to?
I've called three different people because you're making me feel like I've gone insane. I've never heard of an elementary school guidance counselor. My kids attended the French Catholic Board in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I never heard of them. If they had them, I never met them. My kids didn't have any in their elementary schools in Los Angeles, not here in Ottawa. Junior high and high school, yes, absolutely, and they can be a great resource. So I'm shocked. I don't have an opinion on this because I didn't even know it was a thing. So we're eliminating something I never heard of. I mean, when did we bring guidance counselors into elementary schools, and why the hell would a 8-year-old need one?
Well, Andrea, they do say that it's that transition between the elementary level and the high school level, but we kind of all managed that. I agree with Bill. I had a high school guidance counselor. Hell, we had five of them in our high school. Didn't have one in elementary school, so this is a new thing.
New for elementary school, but the ones in high school, I think were great. I had great relationships with our high school guidance counselor. Shout out to the best high school ever, Earl Haig Secondary School. But they're important. And I know that some of these guidance counselors, they also give career advice and help with mental health services to some students. They're a great sounding board. They can help you learn to transition into high school or how to cope as a student, how to learn time management skills. I think guidance counselors are important, and I'm interested to see how the position plays out, because it's important to support students every which way possible.
Earl Haig Secondary School, home of the CARP, the Earl Haig CARPs, were they not called
CARP DM?
There you go.
Baby Junior High, that would have been my school if we didn't move.
All right, fair enough. Bill, Andrea, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you both.
All right, take care. Have a good one.
Really good stuff. Our thanks to Ben and to Mike. We appreciate it, and we appreciate all of you.
The CARP. Someone actually approved that.
It's a CARP. I'm looking right at it right now. The CARP.
I think that's a wonderful mascot. Hey, guess what? We're back to end off the week for you tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Until then, we hope you have the best Thursday night ever.